glad to be back from church tonight. I missed being here Sunday morning, Sunday night. But I pray that y'all had a good service. We'll tonight turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Chapter 16. Tonight, I'm going to be preaching by Paul tonight and how Paul stood the test and how Paul praised the Lord in his trying times. And we knew that when Paul could praise the Lord in the situation that he was in, then we can also praise the Lord today. We're not in the same situation that Paul was in. We did not go through the troubles and the trials that Paul went through. But Paul had a testimony. And he had a testimony, and I think the day that he got saved on the road to Damascus, I believe that he told the Lord, he said, Lord, he said, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do what I can for you because of what you've done for me. And up to that point, when Paul got on the road to Damascus, he was lost. He was a hell-bound sinner. He didn't know God. He didn't have no fellowship with God. He didn't even have fellowship with the church and no Christians and nobody else. The only one that he had fellowship with was the devil, Satan himself. And if you don't have but two fellowships, you either have fellowship with God or you have fellowship with Satan. And today we see more and more where people today, they're having more fellowship with Satan and the things that's going on, the things that's happening in America. Things that's happened there in Washington, D.C., and the things that's happened in Richmond, and the things that's happened right here in our own city. You know, you got people today, they are going about killing people, and they don't think anything about a life anymore. Only thing that they want, somebody to grease their hand. They want that old dollar bill. It's nothing wrong with the dollar. It's not a thing wrong with the dollar. But what is wrong with it is the way the people go about grabbing a hold of the dollar bill. Because the dollar is the root of the evil in the way that we put it. And we can do anything we want to. We can justify it. We can say, well, you know, this is the last dollar I got. I don't have nothing else. And Lord, I don't have nothing else to give you. You've taken everything that I have now. You've taken my health. You've taken away from the material things that I had. But what people don't realize, they have the most precious gift of them all, and that is their life. What is the Almighty Dollar going to do for us? What is that home going to help us with? What is that automobile going to help us with? It's going to make us to turn farther and farther away from God. And we see that every day. Me and Brother Jim, we went to Lowe's yesterday afternoon, and we was down there. And I wasn't aiming to go to Lowe's. I was aiming to go somewhere else and check on something. But after me and Brother Jim Brother Billy got together, and we started going. We started riding and going to where I was aiming to go. I said, I'm going to just believe I'm going to go to Lowe's. I'm going to go to Lowe's and check it out there, see how much it is there, and then we'll go to the other place. We went to Lowe's, and there was an individual that I met, and it's been years since I've seen him. Him and his grandson both. And the last time I'd seen his grandson, was maybe 5, maybe 6 years old, something like that. Now, he was taller than I was. And then I got out of church. Because of some things that happened within the family, and they couldn't handle it, so they got out of church. But I invite them to church. And I'm hoping and praying that they'll come. But I did get the address, and they did come find out where his grandson lives. I know where he lives at. But we must not worry about in the way the people are living. What we must worry about, their soul. We need to let people to know and realize that we want to be a friend to them. I want to be a friend to anybody. And the more friends I can come up with, the more people that maybe is a good possibility I can reach. But here, we see right here in Acts right here, Paul and Silas. And it says right here, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sung praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. The prisoners that was in the same cells as they was in, they heard them singing and they heard them praying. And they weren't praying that they would get out of, that the guard would come by and let them out, or the one in charge would dismiss all the charges against him. No. They was in there singing and praising God for what God had done for them. And we can also praise the Lord and what the Lord has done for us. I know right now I'm not too steady on my feet. I know that I have to watch it. I know that if I don't, there's a good possibility I'm going to stumble and I'm going to fall and I'm going to hit the floor. But still, I got something I can thank the Lord for. First of all, I can thank the Lord for that I'm not going to hell. Because He made a way for me to escape the penalties of hell. And I've said this all along, and I'll say it until the day that I go home. As far as a Christian is concerned, they will never die. They will never die. I mean, you talk about Max Stewart. He just transferred from one body to another one. He's there in heaven today. His address is not here in Danville anymore, and what his address was. His address now is in heaven. And we all have got a, we can look forward to that one day. If you're saved, we can look forward and go into heaven. Who made that possible? The same one that made it possible for Paul and Silas to be able to go. The same one that made it possible for John the Baptist to go. The same one that made it possible for Peter the Rock to go. He is the one that's made it possible for me and for you to accept him or reject him. And we can either accept him and who he is, or we can reject him and who he is. And say, no, I'm not going to serve you because of what you want me to do. You don't want me to have fun. You don't want me to go out here and do some of the things that I used to do. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. When I got saved, the Lord Jesus Christ, he put a new want-to in my heart and in my soul. I wanted to do other things. I wanted to do something that could praise him. I wanted to do something that would lift up his name. That's what I wanted to do. And you talking about, and me talking about having a good time and having fun. I tell you what, I've never had so much fun in my life as I do now as a Christian. I love to get around people. Brother Roy Newton, I can get with Brother Roy Newton, I can call him on the telephone. Or I can go out and pick him up and we can go riding. And it ain't 5 minutes that we're not in the car that we're not talking about how good God is to us. Why? Why do we want to talk about that? Because God is good to us. But we're going to serve the one that we love. If we love the world, we're going to serve the world. If we love the Lord and we love the things of the Lord, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord in a way like we would never ever think that we'd ever do. After the Lord saved me, I got in church, and I won't just be one of these Sunday morning Christians either. I was there for Sunday school, Sunday morning preaching, for Sunday night, Wednesday night when they had revival. I was there every night during the week for revival. I even left work with my work clothes on to go to revival. People today, they say, well, I can't come like this. I just got off of work. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to come back when Sister Huff, when you ain't clean. He ain't going to come back when you're not doing this or doing that. Brother Bill, He's not going to come back when you out there mowing the grass. He's not going to come back when I'm under the automobile. Yes, he is. We don't know what we'll be doing. We have no idea what we're going to be doing when the Lord returns. And we must realize that we're going to be in the presence of the Lord, and he's going to clean us up, and he's going to wash us. He's going to clean us up. We already got the garment of salvation, but he's going to put on the robe of righteousness there when we get into heaven. Hallelujah. Once we get there, Peter's not going to be at the gate. Like a whole lot of people will say. They say, well, Peter's at the gate, and he's going to welcome you in. No, Peter ain't going to welcome me in. Paul ain't going to welcome me in. You know who's going to welcome me in? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's who's going to welcome me home. That's who's going to welcome you home. But we got so much to praise the Lord for. Amen. Just like Paul and Silas, they praised the Lord. They lifted up their voice. It don't say anything at all that Paul and Silas, either one, knew how to sing. It doesn't say that what song they sung. It just says that they just prayed and they sang. And they prayed and they sang. I believe this. I believe if you get in the presence of God, and if you pray, and when you start singing, it ain't gonna make no difference who hears you. Because you're singing for him. I'd rather hear somebody that can't carry a tune. Then to hear these groups that you hear on the radio. And when they come to the church, that they gotta have this amount, that amount of money. First of all, when they get up here, they said they called. God's called them to sing, full-time ministry singing. It's not but two callings. Really, basically, it's not but one calling. And that's the preacher. And I believe the Lord will put it upon an individual's heart to serve as a deacon also. But as far as a calling, to get up here and quit your job and go out here and sing for a living and for your family's lifestyle, no, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in it. Because what is the first thing that they ask for? How much can the church give us? How many do y'all have in the church? Y'all remember when over Brother James Albert last year, he had a group down from North Carolina, Hudson, North Carolina. I looked all over heaven for you. You remember? I know Brother Bill does.
Yes.
But I could call them. I could call them and I could set up something for them to come up one day next year. It would be next summer before they probably could even come, because they're so booked up all the time. But they don't come out for money. They do it because the Lord
laid it upon the pastor's heart at that time to do this and to do that. And they traveled. Now I'm going to tell you something. When you can travel from Hudson, North Carolina to the hills of West Virginia in a coal mine and country, and you go up on narrow roads up in the coal mine country, up into the mountain, and they have to drive 8 hours one way going, they may get there, they have, may have 15, they may have 20 people. The pastor, Brother Smith, he told me, and Brother James, he said, we have been to so many churches that they had two individuals besides the pastor and his wife. He says, we didn't ask them for no money. He said, we did not ask him for a dime. He said, we went because God, we knew that's what God wanted us to do. And he said, God told him, he said, son, he says, if you'll do it, you ain't got to worry about it. Anything. You ain't got to worry about the money, keeping the fuel in the bus or nothing like that. And they had one of them Greyhound buses. And they had 30 people that was in his church that would come and present that ministry. What I'm saying, they were just praising the Lord. And they was praying, they prayed. And they was praising God and giving him thanks for what he has done for them. So they was giving back to the Lord. Not only was he giving back to the Lord, they was giving back to the Lord, they was giving back to the people. And I've been seriously over by calling them and getting them to come down here. But you know, people like that, they do it not because they have to. Not because this Bible I hold up to you that says it. Yes, I'm a Christian and I need to go and I need to do this. I need to go visit. I need to do this. No. They don't do it for that. They do it because they love God. And how many is here tonight? Truly, in your heart, loves God. You don't have to raise a hand, but I want you to think about it. I believe every one of you love him. But have you ever loved him to the point that you have surrendered your life? You've surrendered everything that you have to him. It's his anyhow. So if we give it freely, that's good on our part.
But if we don't, he will take it. He will take it in his own way. I could remember when I first got saved. It was really, that was hard for me to do. That was hard for me to really do, was tithe. Give my 10% when I was first saved. But I come to find out something. That I read in the Bible, and it don't tell us that we give a 10% and just the monetary goods. We can give it in our labor of love to him, in visiting, in doing what he asks us to do. Yes, we may not have it to give, but we have something else that's precious to us all, and that is T-I-M-E, time. There's 168 hours in a week. Some people think, well, if they give the Lord 2 hours or 3 hours a week, that they done something. No. Because we can take that 168 hours. And we can look at that as tithes. Give back 10% of our time, of what he has so gracious give us in a week, 168 hours. That means we're supposed to give him back, that he deserves it. And we are supposed to give him 16.8 hours of our time back to him. But then, it don't stop there. Because I honestly believe this. It's worked for me, and I know it'll work for anybody else. If you give you 16.8 hours, really that's not much if we really think about it. But if we give it 16.8 hours to it this week, and next week we'll give them another 16.8. The next week, we'll give them 17 and a half hours. And then we'll come to find out later on that 16.8 hours or end up into 24 hours during a week. I mean, we've got all the time in the world. We've got daylight, and we got the night. We even got telephone. They didn't even have telephone way back then when people was really flocking to the house of the Lord. We didn't have telephone. They didn't have telephone to call people, invite them to church. We have the telephone. And we can invite them. You see what preacher says? You know, I've invited them. I've invited them, and they just seem like they just will not come. I feel the same way as you do. I feel frustrated about it. That you continue inviting people to come to church that's not in church. Now I'm not one of these preachers that believes that you need to go out here and proselyte and take somebody else's try to get somebody else's members to come to the church, come here just to hear me come and preach. No, because if I can get them that way, if I can get them down here with a hot dog. then somebody else can get them with the hot dog, the mustard, the chili, and the slaw, and tater chips on the side. And what do you got? What have we got? We've got other people. We've got the problems that the other pastors had. We need to just remember that we could be where Paul and Silas is at. And what would we do in that situation? Would we be praising the Lord and thanking Him? Would we? I don't know. I hope and pray I would. I just hope and pray that as far as myself, I have the fortitude or the guts or whatever you want to call it, to be able to say to someone that is pointing a gun at my head and asking me, are you a Christian? And they know that if they have said yes, that they're going to die in the next second or two. Right there in the organ, I'm going to tell you. That right there means they was taking a stand for their faith. But how many would take a stand? And here they are, they just young people. They just young people, and they took a stand. But how many of us that's up in age, how many of us would we take a stand? We need to take a stand. The Lord Jesus Christ, He took a stand for us. He went to Calvary. He shed His blood. He died for me. He died for me. So, and he was beaten, and they didn't even recognize him. They couldn't recognize him between a human being or a dog. But yet, he went all the way, and knowing that he was going to give his life, would I take a stand? I pray that I would. When it comes down to that time, I don't know what I'd do in that split second. I don't know. I would pray I would. Our Father, we will thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Lord, we just pray, Father, for the remaining of this service. And Lord Jesus, we just ask, Lord, that You just be with each one, Father. If it's one here that has not surrendered their life unto You, Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, that we'll make it to the front, Father, and they could just ask You, Lord, to touch them, to help them along the way, that they surrender all they have unto You, Father. Because, Father, You paid the ultimate price for each one of us. And Lord Jesus, we pray today, if there's an individual here that is truly not saved, yet, Father, I do not know the heart, but, Lord, they know their own heart, and You know the heart. And sometimes, Father, we just forget about other things and we just start thinking about, well, I go to church. I'm in church. I'm there. I'm faithful to the church. But they've never truly asked you, Lord, to come into their heart. And yes, and make you be personal unto them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Mm-hmm.